Good day to you. Welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Meraz. Today, we're joined by Morehead Mayor Jim Tom Trent. Well, Mayor Trent, you started the new year with a bang. I'm looking at the notes on this meeting agenda from this week, and I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on right now in the city, and I'm almost having trouble picking where to start. But I guess we'll start at the top. One of the things that's going on right now also is the Kentucky legislative session, where they're supposed to be talking about pension reform. And I know that the city and the officials of the city are very concerned about what that reform could look like and what the cost could be to the city of Morehead.
Yes, Chuck, it is, and it's something that is affecting a lot of us. I know Morehead State University is concerned with it, the school district, as well as the Round County Fiscal Court. And based on what the pension board did back in the late summer, early fall, their recommendations came out and to raise the contributions for non-hazardous and hazardous up significantly, almost doubling in certain areas. For us right now, if it stays as proposed, it would mean about $340,000 in addition to what we already do. I think the university is like as much as $4 million, and I believe the county, from what I understand, is about $400,000 in the school district, somewhere between us and the county. So very significant amounts of money that you have to take seriously. You have to make sure you look ahead. Now, the good news is, through this legislative session, the legislators can go in and they can modify that. They're the only ones who have that opportunity, have the ability to modify once the board sets those rates. So they can modify it, and there's been some discussion among both sides of the aisle that they would like to see it at least phased in over potentially 5 years, a five-year phase, which would make a lot of sense. You know, we have a budget of around $15.5 million annual budget, and with another $300,000 adding to that, that's a third of our health benefits right there in addition to what we already pay. So it's something very concerning, and we're trying to basically make sure we have our bases covered if that is the worst scenario, and that and the worst scenario does come to fruition, then we want to make sure we have it covered. So you have to look at alternative things and other ways to potentially cover that without having to raise taxes.
Yeah, I was going to say there are two ways you can go to create revenue when you're talking about an expense perhaps that is coming up, or one that you didn't necessarily expect, and that is either to cut spending or raise taxes. Is there another option, or are those two things on the table?
Those are the two things right now that we're looking at, and when I say raise taxes, it's not raising taxes on individuals, what we talked about, and that's also, I don't want to skip ahead of what you want to talk about, but one of the reasons why we brought up the potential of raising our local government premium tax. And it's quote-unquote a tax, but it's not a tax on the individual. It's not a tax on the taxpayer. It's a tax on the insurance company to give them for the privilege of doing business in Round County, in our case, the city of Morehead. That was enacted by the city of Morehead in 1984 at a 5% rate on just three of seven different types of insurance streams. We right now do inland marine, we do fire and allied perils, and we also do casualty. Well, what we don't have insurance, we don't tax the insurance companies on are life insurance, health insurance, auto, and what's considered other insurances. And there's a group of those, and those are primarily things such as mortgage guarantee insurance, title insurance, surety insurance. But the key here is when people see the word tax, they say, oh, here we go, you know, blah, blah, blah. But what we want to make sure, and why we think this is less painful than a normal tax on an individual, is the fact that this is something that we tax the insurance companies for the privilege of doing business in the city, and whether or not they pass that along to the customer, the policyholder, is up to them. It's never been raised since 1984. It's been at 5%, and you're talking 32 years, never been raised. And in comparison, we are at 5%. The cities from Winchester to Ashland on around us, the average is 8%. For example, Ashland's 10%, Mount Sterling's 10%, and under KRS, you can go as high as 15%. And right now, we currently at 5% on the three streams we have. We raise annually about $215,000, $220,000. We think by adding the other ones that are available to be utilized and also raising it up 2.5%, that we could at least get 50% more and possibly as much as 100% more than what we have.
I was going to ask you about that. How much revenue do you think that you could raise with a 2.5% increase?
It's hard to really understand because we've not done it. You kind of have to wait for it to go through the cycle. For example, by under KRS, this has to be done 90 days, has to be passed with second reading 90 days before July 1st, which is somewhere in the middle of March. So once you do that, it won't take effect until the 18-19 budget, July 1, and you won't really start seeing revenues come in from those streams until about this time next year. So we don't know. We just think doing simple calculations on what we already do and based on what other communities our size do. For example, my good friend, the mayor down in Mayor Williamson in Mount Sterling, he said it's vital to them. He said they've done 10% across the board for many years, and they raise $1.1 million just on that annually. We're not thinking we're going to get that high, but we're also thinking that it's something that, you know, we need to look at. Again, it's the least painful of any taxes that you can ever have, and what I want to drive home is it's not on the individual, but it's on the insurance companies who really have had kind of free run since 1984, and they've been able to reap, you know, the profits there, and this is basically sharing that with the city and for the privilege of doing business. So there's a lot of cities do this. I mean, there's a lot of people have at least some. And again, in our area, we are at 5% and the average is 8. So we feel like this is something that can not only coming up with the new budget, but also moving forward, it can be something that can be an additional stream in case you have things like the pension plan and other ideas. But you know, there's going to be an article, I think, in the paper coming up. Hopefully it'll be broken down. It sometimes can be a little confusing, but we just want people to know that it is on the insurance companies and not the individual.
All right. On a kind of a related point, I know that Councilman Mike Cash had suggested, I think it was, raising the pay for city employees by 25 cents an hour, but because you don't know what's going to happen with the pensions, that matter was basically tabled.
It was. It was voted down, but to be brought back in February after some more information is available. And, you know, we want people to be able to make the connection, you know, why we did that at the time. He and I talked about that, and of course, I was for it at the time. And here's the reasoning. It wasn't because we're proposing to raise the local government premium tax or fee by 2.5%, is because we got a really good audit and we were able to have an additional $500,000 that, because we had such a good audit, that was carryover that we hadn't budgeted for. And historically, in the last year or two, we've looked at that. Instead of giving a 50-cent raise, if we could do it, or a 40-cent raise in July, we've split it, thinking if we have a good audit again, and if we have, you know, a carryover of a significant amount, and $500,000 is a significant amount, it would be roughly $23,000 to add a quarter to the employees for the rest of this fiscal year. So we want people not to make the correlation between, well, they're raising the premium tax to do that. No, the reason we did that was because we're being very good stewards of the money. We've got our folks work very hard. It's another, you know, a third clean audit in a row, no issues, and we've always came out with more than what we budgeted for, which is a good thing. So, yes, it was basically tabled. We see it. I think it'll probably go next time, or depending on whatever month, you know, they decide to do it, because once we can share all these and break it down farther for council, they'll be able to make a better informed decision.
Now, there was something else that I was going to ask you about, and it was a note that was passed on to me that perhaps you're losing, I guess, some tax revenue in regards to Guardian and Sealmaster. Is that correct? Maybe if you would detail that and explain.
It's my understanding, this is way before I came in, and it's been several years ago, maybe as long as 20 years ago, and I apologize for not knowing the exact year, but it was a long-term interlocal agreement between the county and the city when Guardian and Sealmaster first came around, as far as being able to share the occupational taxes with the county. For example, for a long time, as always has been, Sealmaster's been out of the city limits. And then when also when you look at Guardian, they're right on the edge of city limits. So as a incentive for us helping bring them here, the county and the city entered into an interlocal agreement where we would split those occupational taxes. Well, that time period initially agreed upon is now up. So we won't be able to split those moving forward.
So how much do you lose?
We don't know yet, but we would think it would be a considerable amount, probably several hundred thousand dollars. We just don't know yet, again, because it's one of those things you don't realize until you get around to this time next year. And another thing, with the movement of the MCTC, the Maysville Community Technical College, the round campus will be moving out. Matter of fact, they're moving in now, and they'll be starting classes soon out to the MMRC Industrial Park. You know, they're moving out of city limits, and so we will lose the occupational taxes there, even though there's going to be some of the high bay offices and high bay classes and whatnot still in the city limits. So those are things we're looking at. You know, again, another reason for the insurance, the local government premium tax, and the fact that we've been very blessed with a lot of construction lately. And
can't last forever.
Well, and we know that, like we talked about last night, I had mentioned that bubble, I like to call it, it's been a very nice bubble, that will be decreasing and going away, because most of these projects that are going on right now where we have enjoyed that additional occupational tax, they'll all be completed this year. The jail will be completed. Morehead State University will be completed with all theirs. The hospital will be completed. So you've got some big projects that could be as far as what we estimated based on our audit, as much as $300,000 or more that we won't have next year. So again, you know, we just didn't come out and look at the local government premium tax and say, look, we got to do this. We want to – there's reasoning behind that. And we're looking – just trying to make sure we don't have to raise individual taxes or don't have to cut too much. And we never want to do anything to reduce our workforce, because right now we have a strong workforce. We have the majority of police officers we're maxed out on our communicators, the dispatchers, and that's great. They haven't done that in a long time, so we're in really good shape that way. So we're hoping this is something that can help mitigate some of those losses of income.
Again, our guest today on the front page is Morehead Mayor Jim Tom Trent. I'm Chuck Meraz. We'll come back with more on the show right after this.
There's a lot happening in our community, and you can stay connected with community events by visiting our website at wmky.org. Click on Community Events at the top of the page for a listing of community events. Help promote your event by completing the simple online form. Visit Morehead State Public Radio online at wmky.org and stay connected with your community.
Welcome back to today's front page. I'm Chuck Meraz. Morehead Mayor Jim Tom Trent is our guest. We've talked about perhaps projects, local projects, building projects that are actually being completed, have been completed, or will soon be completed in the city. One that sounds like it will be starting, though, in the not-too-distant future is the development of a boutique-style hotel in the downtown area. I heard that there was an agreement made with some developers to do something along that line in downtown Morehead, and this relates to your tax increment financing district that was passed last year.
Exactly. The TIF, as it's known, as you said, the tax increment financing, it has already started showing dividends. As soon as we pass that, and again, this is an incentive for folks to come to our city and have development and to create development, new development, because they will be able to, once a threshold of $20 million in that development district, in that particular development is reached, then not only will they see the additional incremental taxes locally, but that's when the state taxes can kick in. So it's something where as soon as we pass that, we had three or four hotel developers start contacting us. We've met with those and talked to different ones, and the one we ended up deciding on and the TIF board a couple weeks ago agreed on a contract with them, which then, of course, has to go per our local TIF ordinance to city council last night and then to fiscal court next week for approval, is a contract with a group called Luckett & Farley. Luckett & Farley is a 160-year-old architectural and design group out of Louisville. They've designed the redesign of the Churchill Downs, Cardinal Stadium, a lot of different big projects, but they've done several hotels. And so they will basically be what is known as a master developer. And as part of the contract we have with them, they'll have a 360 days from the time that it's approved by both bodies to bring us viable projects, including a hotel, it looks like a parking garage, and some other developments that will total, once completed, up to $20 million.
Which puts you over the state threshold.
Gets us over the state threshold where that state financing, that money can come back to them and meets that requirement. Now, they have 1 year to bring us those projects if we agree with them, and we'll move forward onto that. If we don't agree with them, then there's some concessions that can be made in there, and we can, you know, be able to get out of the situation if we feel like it's not going to be what we want. But the big thing is they're incentivized by doing this because they are – not only are they a designer, not only are they an architectural firm, but they also are a developer. And so, you know, the quicker they can get something, a viable project or projects going, the quicker that those increment financing benefits can kick in for them. So we see that as a huge step, and we see that hopefully, you know, in a few years from now, we can look back and say, man, you remember when that happened? Look what we've got now. The example, most recent example, as far as location to us, is what's going on in Ashland. Ashland, right after we passed our TIF, Ashland passed a TIF just for the specific purpose of redoing the big hotel downtown. And as soon as they passed the TIF, they had a developer come in, and they're doing the big hotel. I can't think of the name of it.
It's going to be a Marriott from what I
understand. Yeah, but it was Ashland Plaza, wasn't it?
Right, it was the Ashland Plaza Hotel.
And it's going to be like a convention center and everything. So, you know, they're seeing the benefit of that, and we are too. And what's important for people to realize is the developer will be coming in, and they'll be taking most of the risk on this. And so it's not requiring us instead of us going and giving them, you know, $1 million or giving them, everything but the kitchen sink to come. The TIF itself has so many incentives built into it that that's what really entices them to come. So we're excited about that. And basically within a year they have to, for the pre-development phase, once they bring it and we agree on the on a project or projects, then they have, per the contract, up to two more years for a hotel to be under construction. So potentially within 3 years we could see that based on what we've agreed to with them. So that's exciting.
I was going
to
say this process has kind of moved along more quickly than most people would realize, but I also understand that there have been talks and negotiations going on behind the scenes for a number of months.
Oh, yes. We started this project. This is all part of another phase of Vision Moorhead that was started in late 2014. When our administration came in 2015, we continued that on. And there's certain things. If you remember, there was a survey done. It was done online, and I believe there were some other things that were done asking people what they would like to see. First thing, the number one thing was straighten out Main Street to help downtown development. Well, we've done that. You know, talk about doing more as far as landscaping and helping existing businesses and also attracting other businesses. You know, we've done a lot of this. Still a lot more to go, but this is just another thing. And one of the big issues once we did the straightening of Main Street was a boutique-type hotel. With possibly some retail underneath, maybe a restaurant involved, parking. Because right now we don't want to give a lot of our viable, developable land that's developable downtown for a big, wide, spread out parking lot. The best thing to do to keep our land valuable and attractive is to probably go up and go vertical, and that is a parking garage. But there again, the city won't be on the hook for that. That's all part of this, and we see that as being part of the master development. So, you know,
as I say, you're talking about this boutique style hotel, a parking garage, and perhaps a number of retail shops in that area. That changes the complete landscape of Moorhead's downtown.
It really does, and you know, it's not something we're doing to, you know, shun any of our existing businesses. We're doing it to add to them and to help attract business. Everything we've done, from the flashing light, from the straightening of the Main Street, from the doing the landscaping the way we did it, to you know, the Sharrows with the bike pass, everything we've done in the last 3 years have been designed to draw more pedestrian traffic and more traffic downtown to our existing businesses. And something like this, an anchor of new development, all that can do is just help existing businesses and attract more.
You know, when we talk about developments and we talk about another potential project, one that actually isn't going to be a reality at some point in the not-too-distant future, we always talk about the building of the new police fire station. I know that that's something that you're trying to get put into motion. It's the idea has been finalized. It's just getting started on it that you're trying to get finalized on.
You're exactly right. The ideal's finalized. You know, we've got some ideas on concepts as far as how we want the building to look. It's simply coming down to a matter of a competition. I don't want to say competition, but it's a matter of being able to work out some details involved with some old deeds as far as property lines. And we're having to make sure we've actually had to go and redo a couple surveys in dealing with this partner that's going to partner with this. And so once we get that done, it is now in their hands. We delivered it to them before Christmas, and we're waiting to hear back on them from that. And once we do that, like I've told you, that'll be the one of the best. I'll be so excited to come in and tell you that, because we've literally talked about it since day one I've been in the office.
So you feel like you're on the verge?
I think we're right there. I think we're ready to go. And the good thing about it is, with all these other things we're talking about, you know, we've already budgeted some debt service money for that. So that's something that the council's committed to. I know the police and fire and other folks are very excited about. And really, it's just going to be a community. It's going to be such a great thing for the community.
Another thing that happened at the council meeting this week was that the first reading of an ordinance amending the alcohol licenses here in the city to allow sales, I guess, liquor by the drink, after 12, and I guess 1 a.m. would be the new deadline for ending sales. How to maybe talk about that, if you would.
Well, it's been brought up before, and I know we added Sunday sales here a few months ago, and it's been brought up before by someone who opened up a new a business that's doing very well downtown since they've been opened up. And you know, the thing is, you're going to have proponents and you're going to have opponents to this, no matter what you do. You know, we see it again as something, as a small concession to, again, help us attract downtown businesses and also help us attract developers and also try to help us attract additional businesses and industry, because they want to know what they can do after hours, and they want to do, instead of saying, well, we're going to go to this city because, you know, this doesn't happen here, and you know, all these things add up. It's not one thing that's going to attract people, but all these things add up into giving us the best advantage. And what people have to realize too, we don't have 25 alcohol liquor licenses out there. They're very few, because based on our size and based on the fact that how they're divvied out, we don't have tons. So, you know, people will see this, and a lot of people will say, who are opponents, will say, well, there's going to be bars popping up on every street. Street corner. That's not the way it is, because you're only a limited amount of what you have, and they're all pretty much full now. They've all been accounted for. So it's just giving the people there who want to come downtown and have that, and also keeping the business local the best we can.
You're poised for another busy year here in Morehead.
We are. We're excited, and one of the things, I don't know if you wanted to mention it, but it got mentioned very late, but one of the things we're excited about as public record now is that I was given permission to go to fiscal court next week and speak to them about partnering with us on a potential 5,500 square foot splash pad that to be located over on the new property that we just closed on there beside the recycling center. And so we've been, you know, I've been dealing with developers on that for about a year, maybe almost 2 years now. We finally got down to where we have a piece of property to do that, and that was one of the main reasons we wanted to obtain that property. So we're looking at about a $600,000 project. It's about 5,500 square feet, 500 gallons of water per minute. This is just on the one we looked at as an example. And it looks like fiscal court is looking at partnering with us on that, which will help us, just like we want to thank tourism again for partnering $250,000 towards the purchase of the property. Don't know the exact amount, but we're pretty sure that that's going to happen. So there again, you see, we've got collaboration with the county. We've got collaboration with the tourism, and everyone sees the importance of things like recreation and bringing folks down here. Again, I wish we could build a pool. I wish we could build a water park. But with what we have right now in priorities and what we have with commitments on fire trucks and new police and fire station and other things, maybe something like the addition of the local government premium tax will help us add to that. We want something for the kids to be able to do right now, a water feature. You know, it's not something that you know, if we had our dream, we'd have, you know, it's a huge water park. But we just simply can't afford it. And we want to be good stewards of money, of the taxpayers' money. So that's something you and I will be talking about further once we get that made a commitment, and I can go into more detail about that later.
All right, Mayor, as always, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you very much, and I want to say Happy New Year to everybody out there.
Morehead Mayor Jim Tom Trent, our guest on Front Page. I'm your host, Chuck Meraz. We'll see you next time.